Everybody wants to do body shots until I start pouring tequila into my foreskin.
Gross. Where's my studio lighting?
2.0. It's already set.
Is it really?
Yes. Oh, she's so bossy.
Just turn them off.
Good evening, ladies and gents, and welcome back to another episode of Gay Talk 2.0, an LGBT podcast. We are coming to you live on our YouTube channel for all of our Patreon subscribers, live and in color. And as I sit here and take the abuse of set the studio lights, set the studio mode, set the studio this, and set the studio that, by none other than my co-host. Anyway, my name is Tom, and I'm your host, and as always, I'm in the studio with that one, starting with the first one.
Wow.
Is that your new name? Wow.
Hello, Nick or Trish.
And
Jay Bear, a.k.a. your boyfriend's boyfriend.
Look, today started out rough. We didn't get notes until like 5:15, maybe 5:20, maybe past that. I'm trying to prep, and this bitch is bitching about shit. Because she had a bad day at work.
Oh.
And I get it. Every day, every hump day, every Wednesday, we have a day.
It's tough. It's like rough. Like, it's like, you know what I think happened? It's a pandemic happened and people forgot how to be actual like
humans.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
It's like, what the fuck? It's like, all of a sudden, it's like they're not able to function. They're not able to do anything on their own. They're not able to figure shit out. It's like,
you know what I'm finding?
Get off my dick.
So, honestly, what I'm finding more often than not is that, like, people that are in leadership roles don't remember how to actually lead.
You're not lying.
It's yeah. Like, I'm like, I don't know how many conversations I've had to have where I'm like, that is not how you should be approaching this situation.
It's not, I don't think it's only leadership.
I just think people in general.
Yeah. Like I have coworkers where we have had.
Be careful,
past,
girl.
Yeah. We're live. In the past, we have had to make adjustments, I should say, right?
Mm-hmm.
Make adjustments for either people not being in the office or something.
You pivot.
Right?
You pivot.
You adjust, you do this, and it works because it's been proven to work, right?
Mm-hmm.
All of a sudden, post pandemic, what do we do? And I was like, nothing really changed since the pandemic, besides the fact that we were home for a fucking year.
Right.
Why are you confused about something we've been doing for 13 years? You know what I mean? It's like,
yeah.
It's the same fucking process. It didn't change. It didn't mutate with the fucking pandemic. It's the same process.
It's not a fucking variant.
Yeah.
The weird thing is, I think, is we had to pivot so much during the pandemic
right.
that people are still constantly like, how are we getting back to where we were? And I'm like,
that's never going to happen.
Girl, just yeah. like.
At this that, point, that the way been, we work yeah, yeah. has changed completely.
Absolutely.
It will never be the same because we have been introduced to a whole new way of doing things, right?
Yeah. Like, and honestly, that's like one of the best things that came out of the pandemic.
Yeah. I agree, but you know, you still have some of these people that you know traditionalist. Well, not traditional. Most of that generation is probably like in a freaking what do you call those places.
Retirement home?
No. At this point, they're to the point where they're in
hospice.
Yeah. But boomers, you still have some boomers lingering around in leadership roles that are just making it so difficult because they refuse to just move from this whole I need to micromanage you 24/7.
Like 90% of our Congress?
Yes. Thank you. So I need to micromanage every move that you make so that, you know, I'm making sure that you're productive. Yeah. No, bitch. Yeah. Just look at the fucking reports. It's like, we're getting the shit done.
Yeah.
And so I think that, you know, once we get over that that hump of baby boomers, like officially out of the workforce, and you start getting some new blood in leadership roles, I think that things will transition and change a little bit more in the way that, you know, and the flexibility that we came to be accustomed to during the pandemic, yeah. Especially millennials, right?
Okay.
Not so much Zennials.
So I have a couple thoughts.
Okay.
All right. My first thought is, you may be right. My second thought is
I'ma take that. I'ma take it, girl.
That's a win.
Dealing with young leaders is really difficult.
Right.
Yeah.
It really needs is.
To happen.
It really is because they need to learn.
Yeah, right? But it's a learning curve for them. If they don't take the opportunities given to them to learn, and then if they don't listen to the people that are trying to help guide them,
right,
it's gonna be a disaster.
Right. You know what the funniest thing for me to observe most times is trying to watch a very young leader, someone who's not necessarily a millennial. What do they call the new generation? Generation Z or I don't know.
Gen Z, yeah.
Gen Z?
Sure.
Right. Yeah. So which is anyone that was born after, you know, after 9/11. You know, it's trying to watch them manage and direct a diverse group of different generational gaps.
Well, also, like, you have to think about the fact that, you know, as we bring younger people into leadership roles, interpersonal communication is shifting, right?
Of course.
Some people still can't have a fucking phone conversation.
Yeah. Oh, girl. So do you, I don't know if you remember the movie with Anne Hathaway.
Yeah.
The Apprentice or something like that, where she had an older gentleman come and
yep.
What was it? Oh God, what do they call those? The Intern.
Yes.
It's what the movie was called. Oh, fuck her. But anyway, so I found that movie very funny and endearing because that's exactly what I'm trying to actually convey and say is that, you know, watching a young, you know, Gen Zer go into a leadership role and look at people who are, for example, you know, millennials or even Xennials like myself, or in some cases you still have a couple of, you know, people that are baby boomers lingering in the workforce and trying to navigate the different communication styles that have, you know, that we have grown accustomed to, right? Because here's the thing. You're a young millennial. You're an earlier millennial, not necessarily young. You were one of the earlier millennials. Like you're
on the cusp.
The cusp, very early on. I'm a Xennial, and so are you. So for us, we had to navigate that and we learned how to do both. Right? We learned how to communicate electronically, but we also knew the importance of sitting in a meeting and pay attention. The attention span of Gen Z in a fucking meeting is borderline fucking hilarious because they can't do anything. It's like, you know, if you ask them to do something, oh yeah, but I can show you on my phone. No, bitch. Take the little dry erase marker and go to that board and draw it out.
But also, here's the other thing. I feel like
deer in headlight
with the younger generation. Yeah, right. So, I mean, I guess I am almost. I'm getting up there, right?
Yeah, you are.
But like,
proudly,
I feel like giving criticism,
definitely,
or constructive criticism,
it's challenging.
Is so hard.
Uh-huh.
It's like defensiveness. One.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this is inappropriate. I'm going to go to HR. Two.
Mm-hmm.
And three, nothing fucking changes. And I'm like, look, I'm just trying to help you.
Right.
Like literally.
It's a very, we're at a cusp in our time in workforces all across America in where it is becoming ever so evident the ways in which each generation gravitates towards as far as its communication.
Yeah, I think it's going to, there's going to be a huge shift in how we do business.
Oh,
it's this, and this is basically the beginning of it,
right?
As we see it,
right?
Because as you said, you want them to go to the whiteboard and they want to do it digitally. And we also have to remember, even schools now, they're teaching digital programming and processing and in class now for, you know, my granddaughter's 13, 14. That's what they're learning.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So when they go into the workforce, this whiteboard shit is
we don't do that. Yeah, I don't even know how to write cursive.
That's going
to
be in a museum along with...
Well, like people, I mean, don't even know how to write cursive.
Yeah, I know. Exactly. Like I had a situation and I literally was looking at this individual and they were trying to mansplain to me something...
Mansplain.
Mm. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
When I say that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. So okay. They were trying to explain something to me that I'm like, I've been in this industry since I went to fucking college. Like I've worked in it for 20 plus years. why are you sitting there mansplaining to me? It wouldn't stop. And I got up and I was like, okay, this isn't productive. I'm going to walk away. I walked away and there was like a blow up. And I was like, I understand that you're upset. But at the same time, you have to understand that you can't mansplain how this industry works to me.
I've been here. I've done that.
Like, come the work. Fuck on.
Yeah, I know. But, you know, perfect example. Kids learning nowadays. And I've said this before on the show. I see parents all the time. Oh, no, my kid spends way too much time on the phone and blah, blah, blah. And I need to take these gadgets away. But here's the thing. I'm like, while you, who didn't spend your time on a handheld device, right? And learned how to navigate life through a handheld device, right? Let apps and technology guide you. I can understand your reservations behind seeing your kid get lost into a device, but this is the way of the future.
It is.
This is what they're going to start teaching in schools. Eventually, schools is going to be right from a phone.
Yeah.
Honestly, it's going to dumb people down.
And maybe the case.
That's our opinion looking at it from the outside. Remember, right. They're going to.
30 years from now, kids, we're going to be like, 30, oh, you.
10, I have seen
10
people,
years from now.
No, I'm talking about gonna, when we're seeing now. They'll be like, shut up. You don't know anything.
I have seen people use AI to generate their workload.
Yeah.
And then we're like, But
we're the same generation that says work smarter, not harder.
Work smarter. Don't give me something that has errors, doesn't make sense, like is not.
Clearly review your stuff. But listen, if AI can help you get there a lot faster, absolutely. Yeah. I'm all for changes. You know, there are a lot of things in my life that I'm stuck in my ways. I'm like, there are a lot of things. Clearly, we've had a lot of discussions about different topics, you know, in throughout the years that we've been on the show. But I'm also very open-minded to technology and to changes and to different ways of doing things, because I think it's just, one, for me, technology is fun. And it also allows us to be a bit more efficient. It helps us, at least it does with me, with time management, you know, like learning and using different applications and stuff.
While I agree with you, while I agree with you, I think that there is something so important to collaborative working.
Yes.
And being able to communicate in a healthy, positive way. And I feel like there are potential changes coming to the workforce that remove collaboration and remove direct communication.
but
I want to laugh on that a little bit.
No, but certain industries you can't.
In
the arts, absolutely not.
I can't.
Did you know that Scruff is looking for a project manager to handle projects worldwide and is paying $170,000 a year as a salary?
And
it's fully remote?
That's your
because I was VIP on the membership? App. I was on the app and the news came up and I'm looking and I'm like, qualifications? Yeah, no, that's not me. But yeah.
Are you trying to say that that's what I should do?
No, what I'm saying is this is the way we're going.
Yeah.
And the resistance from corporate America is only going to hinder their ability to hire people that are looking for that. Right now, we have a surplus of empty chairs in our business because we can't fill them. People don't want to come into an office 5 days a week.
Yeah.
And even
paying 30 plus hours, 30 plus dollars an hour starting. Yeah.
They don't want to come and work in an office, you know?
And we have hired some people in a weekend. They're like, nah, not for me.
And we have to pivot. And so our entire business group was sent home permanently.
Yep.
Because they couldn't get people in. And now they're able to hire people. It's a very, very different world that we're going to be living in the next decade. And I think corporate America needs to jump on board or get left behind.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
But from a point of technology, what I wanted to go back to what you were talking about, right? Interpersonal skills, being able to collaborate together.
And communicate.
I find it funny that for me, I was fully remote for almost 3 years, right? We all were.
Yeah.
And they made us go back to the office because they said, oh, collaborate, work together, right? Collaborate together. That was the slogan that they use in all of the marketing. They were sending out emails. Oh, we're super excited. We're all going back into the office, collaborate together. And we're going to be in-person meetings again. Every single fucking meeting I've had since we went back to the office in April of 2022. 23. No, it was 22.
22, sorry, 22.
Yeah, it was 22. Every single meeting has been a Teams meeting. There has been two meetings, and there were not even meetings. They were just group celebrations to come together to say goodbye to a retiree. Has been in a conference room.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, yeah, no, I mean, I guess, so, but the thing is, like, I think... What you do is very different from what I do.
Oh, clearly.
There are times where you reach a roadblock when you have to work with another department and you just can't get past that roadblock.
And that is challenging. And that's the other thing too. So not only do we have to adapt at work and figure out how do we solve those gaps, right? You also have to have a very diverse and robust HR team that can help you navigate those differences and those changes and those different work styles, right? Dealing with people is hard. Mm-hmm. It really is.
I think it's important that we lean into the flexibility that, you know, the pandemic gave us with remote work. I've leaned into it when I've had to work remotely when my dad was going through his surgery. And I still try to work remotely at least 1 or 2 days a week.
Can I tell you, I'm obsessed with your dad. I just have to say that.
Yeah, we know.
I think he's such a great guy. He's so funny.
Yeah, he's a great guy. He just sent me a bunch of money. So I'm like,
oh,
he's a great guy. Thanks,
well, Carl,
Dad.
I'm
Daddy.
Here too. No. Daddy.
But at the same time, I think that there are moments when we, as a community, wherever we work, we need to like, nut up and shut up and show up.
Nut up all over my face. Yeah.
Just my opinion. Mm-hmm.
No, yeah. I mean, sometimes you do. And I agree. Like, you know, there's things that happen that you need to be in person. But then, you know, the rest of the group that, you know, you thought was, okay, well, I'm here. I showed up. I nut up. I shut up.
The thing is also,
I put my mask on.
I feel like I'm very, as a director, right? I feel like I'm very flexible. I'm like, show up. Do your work. If you show up late, whatever. If you need to leave early, whatever. Doctor's appointment, whatever. When your work stops getting done, we'll have a problem.
Right. But that's how it should be. Right.
That is how it should be.
Right.
And then there are people who are like, you weren't at your desk at 9 a.m.
Yeah,
until 5 p.m. Where were you? And I'm like, doing my fucking job. Shut the fuck up.
Get off my back. And see, that's the thing too. It's you know, you have people who give someone the freedom to manage your time and to do what you need to do and, you know, get your work done in a way that works for you, because not everybody can work the same exact way, right? You have people that come up with ways of doing work a lot more productive than other people do, right? And so you have different work styles, but in the end, as long as the job gets done, it gets done. And then you have people that have to like oversee everything that you do, and micromanaging is never fun for anyone. So if you are one of those, you know,
some people like it.
Some people like it,
but that's like 10%.
I think it's like 2.
Yeah.
Like, I don't like to be micromanaged. Tell me what it is that you want me to do. Let me figure it out. I'll get it done. I'll do it. But please do not be like every 5 minutes, hey, where are you with that?
And also like the concept of like, oh, this came up, and you have to jump 100% right away.
Oh, honey, an emergency on your part does not constitute an emergency on mine.
Hello.
I'm just letting you know. You know, it's like, I'm sorry.
You gave me a deadline.
It's 4:45 p.m. and you're asking me now to come up with a report that will take me 2 hours to do. No, I'll get it for you in the morning. Good night.
Clocking off 15 minutes early.
Bye. I fucking love it. No, it's challenging. And, you know, and then the most... evident thing is to see how that affects different industries differently, mm-hmm. right? Obviously, you're in theater, right? Your goal is to make money to get butts into a seat, right?
That's so, not my goal, but yeah, that right. overall goal is...
Your overall goal is to make sure that you are, you know, that your theater is bringing in the money that it needs to...
Net zero.
Right. To function, mm-hmm. in a sense, right? And then somebody else's goal is to get butts in those seats. Mm-hmm. But in the end, the goal is to put on a production of a show that brings people into a community space, that brings them and transports them into this different world for an hour or two.
It's a place where you can celebrate art and community together.
Right. And so that in itself doesn't lend itself easily to the whole idea of remote working. I get that.
No.
And so you'll have these different nuances for different types of businesses where that may not be possible. But where it is, make it happen, people. Mm-hmm. It's 20 motherfucking 24. Okay? That's all I gotta say.
Anyway.
So.
How was your week?
Yeah, my week was not too bad. I've been working like a dog, still, you know, doing a lot. But because of the daylight and because we have more daylight into the evening hours, I have been feeling a little bit more energetic. So I decided I was going to go rip out all the bushes that I put into the front of the house 5 years ago. Who steals trees? So I went in and I ripped out bushes that I just no longer was really feeling. Mm-hmm. And I'm just going to go get different things and pop them in and waiting for, you know, the temperature to rise a little bit more before I start putting things into the ground. I'm excited because Jaybird gave me some seed pods from his hibiscus tree.
The giant hibiscus.
Yeah. And I had them in water. I put those fuckers in dirt and one of them is sowed. It's coming in.
They're quick.
I'm excited. And my canna lilies, the same. You know, I put those seeds in water. And then my daylilies. I didn't realize that when daylilies flower, the inside of the flower becomes a seed pod.
If you didn't know she was gay.
I'm gay now. And so, you know, when you go out to a store, you go out to a box store, you go to Lowe's, you go to this store and that store, you buy a daylily to put in the ground. It's like 15, 20 bucks. I have 40 of them upstairs in seedling stage right now that are sprouting for free.
I'm going to take like 5.
So I'll let you know when they're ready to go. And it's like, and all you have to do is just harvest the seed. So I'm excited. I'm excited for spring, for the seed. Yeah, I know, right? And she laughs. Why are you laughing, girl? Because did you take it there?
No, that's like you love your seeds.
Exactly. Like you are very good at harvesting seed.
All the time.
Like it might be your superpower.
But overall,
pun intended.
No. I'm excited.
I have no idea what you're talking about, Jay.
I'm excited to go out and put my seed into the ground. Yeah. Spit it all out.
Super seed.
Oh, God.
You guys are too much. Oh, God. I really do. But no, I've had a good week. I'm really excited for longer evenings. I'm looking forward to warmer weather so that, you know, you boys can come over. Longer daylight and warmer weather.
Warmer weather.
Thank you. That's cursive. It's already happening. I'm excited to be able to, you know, go shopping and buy some steak or buy chicken and, you know, make
grill.
And grill and just hang out outside. I'm excited for that. My birthday's coming up.
I have cheese fries with bacon.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes.
You're getting so old.
I know. My birthday's coming up. Oh, it is in exactly 25 days. From today. So my week was good. I'm in a good place. What about you, Trish? How are you? How was your week?
Nothing exciting. It was nothing. Fine.
Okay. Off to you, Jay. How are you? What is wrong?
It's been a long month this week.
It's been 84 years.
I had a stressful few days, definitely.
Work-related or home-related?
Home-related. Okay. Actually, my dog, Ellie, my bulldog, she's she's 13, so she's starting to show signs. And she was sick for a few days, and I almost thought I had to take her to the vet and have her put down a couple of days ago. So it's she's just old.
She's 13 already? She's
13 already.
I remember when she was a puppy. Yeah.
Time, fuck. I didn't realize because, believe it or not, I got her pretty much around the same time my first grandson was born. And he just turned 13 this past Saturday. And I started kind of doing the math, and I was like, holy crap, I did get her when he was born.
Wait, so what do they say? Like every year for
every
a dog is
how many? Year is like 7 dog years.
It right. Depends on the weight and size, I think. Yeah.
But she's like in her 90s.
She's 91.
Yeah.
Holy fucking shit.
So you can see it. I mean, you can see it in her face. You can see it in... She sleeps 90% of the time, but she was sick. She was puking for a couple of days, and she was pooping everywhere, you know. And then,
I mean,
and she, then she didn't.
Yeah, been there.
That's a bender for me, right?
Been there, done that.
But you know, I thought it was. She's already lost her hearing, so it was like almost. Hey! Yeah, she nothing. You could yell, you could scream. Unless she's just really ignoring me, because bulldogs are notorious for that.
I mean,
but,
you know.
But I've had to like walk up on her and kind of smack on the side. She's like, then she'll look at me.
Like, I mean, if so, I were your dog, yeah, I'd ignore
she'd
you.
She'd ignore
too.
The shit out of me too, right? But it was a few stressful days, and I really thought I was gonna have to call the vet on Monday,
because that's your baby.
That's
your baby.
I just wasn't ready to make that call. But I, you know, I kind of told everybody at the house, I don't know, she's really old, and you know, if you come home from work today, she might not be here. I mean, I'm being realistic. I'm not those people that want to find a cure for a dog that's already 14, 15 years old.
Right.
She's had a good life. I mean, I just try not to get too attached, you know, even though that's my baby. I'm realistic. I had a friend that dog had cancer. He could barely walk, and his wife is like, no, I'm not ready to let go. And I'm like, but you're causing more harm, you know, by trying to keep the dog alive. It's like, this dog could barely get up to poop on its own.
Right.
You know? So, and that was my thing. The dog didn't get up for like a day. On Sunday, she's all day. And I was like, and she had a seizure. So, and it's common that it happens. So I was like, okay, this is what happened with my other dog just before I put him down. He started getting seizures. He didn't eat for like 5 days. And once he stopped getting up, I was like, no, I'm not. This is not going to get dragged out for another 2 weeks.
Yeah.
But I think she just wasn't really feeling well.
Right.
And she was like, fuck this. I'm not
dealing with you folks.
Yeah, but
maybe, you know, things were a little crazy, because you know it can get cray cray in the family, and dogs sense that shit. They'll be like, I'm staying over here. I'm fuck that shit. No, but I'm not even gonna beg for food.
Yeah, but I gave her
these Puerto Ricans are crazy.
I gave her a good 24 hours, and in 24 hours she started doing her stuff again. And last night she was in the yard barking at nothing, like she always does. So,
which is great.
Yeah, I was like, she's back to normal. So
That's
good news. That's good news.
Barking at nothing.
Now, it's, you know, animals are, you know, while they may be animals, they're family members.
Yeah,
you know,
part
like
of the family.
My two.
I'm just not an animal person.
Yeah. Like, yeah, but for whatever reason, they gravitate towards you.
Yeah. But
especially my special one, Ollie. Like, Ollie loves you.
No, I know. He's special.
Yeah,
special.
Like you.
Like you. Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, me, I have my two dogs. And, you know, I had a dog when I was very young. His
name
was Buddy.
We're going to have to sedate her.
You're going to have to do something to me. Something is going to need to happen. But my thing is, it's like, you know, I had a dog when I was very young. And I had a really traumatic experience with my grandfather, who's an evil man, who took the dog away from us because we were moving and we couldn't bring the dog with us. So he drove it somewhere and just dropped it off on the side of the road.
So many fucking people do that.
And
that
the fucking dog made it back.
Yeah, that was very common, especially in Puerto Rico.
No, it was here.
It was here too.
That was here. So he drove it up to fucking Hamden.
That's a Puerto Rican thing, you know.
And then it made it back to the house, and he's like, "Fuck this shit," you know. And he took the dog again and drove it even further, and it made it back to the house. And then he drove to Pennsylvania one day and just dropped it off on the side of a fucking field, and I was heartbroken. And I said to myself, I would never have an animal again. Like, I never forgave my grandfather for that.
Yeah, no, that's fucked up.
I think he was an evil man for doing that, because if you can do that to a dog, there's no telling what you would do to a fucking human. And that's just my opinion. And, you know, when I got my dogs, it's like, you know, it's just like, okay, you know, a lot of people don't realize this is a commitment. I barely go on vacation because I can't leave my babies with anyone. If it wasn't for you or friends staying with my dogs, I wouldn't go anywhere because I'm afraid all the time. Like, I don't want to bring them. I don't want to kennel them. I don't want to bring them out of their environment. Like, this is their home. And it would break my heart when my babies go. I will be devastated.
It's tough. It's a tough transition.
You know, and like, I've been thinking about, you know, for example, going on vacation. Like, I haven't had a vacation in a very long time. I've been in this house 7 years. And
has it really been that long?
Yeah, I bought the house in 2017.
Oh my God.
Time flies.
And I haven't really been anywhere. I haven't gone away, right? And if I did, it's for work.
Or yeah.
Right. And and if it's not for Nick or other people that come and stay in my home to be with my babies in their space, I would never be able to go. And I don't know what I'm going to do. Yeah. You better count. You better best to believe if something happens to any of my babies, gay talk is not going to happen for like 6 months. I'm going to be dead. I'm going to be.
We're on a break.
Yeah. Yeah.
She's going to be devastated. Yeah, like I might go on FMLA for work.
Yeah. We had we had two Great Danes. Years ago.
God.
Two Great Danes. And they were spoiled rotten at home. And when our female, it was Xena and Zeus, right?
Oh, okay.
But when Xena passed, my wife was not right for like 2 weeks. And I remember like 2 days after she passed, we were, my wife literally bedridden, like her mother had passed. You know what I mean? Like,
those are your children.
Yeah, and I was upset too, but you know, it's like, get up, go to work, do what you got to do. Right.
Somebody's got to be the adult for the time being, the caretaker. Yeah,
day two, I come home. She's in bed, eyes swollen from crying. I mean, she was depressed. So I get her up, and it's in the morning, and we're having breakfast. We're doing cereal, and we're eating on the table, and she looks to the side, and I had put her bowls and her collar inside the bowl because I was going to put them away, and she looks over and sees them, and she just starts crying, and she's just bawling, and her tears are going straight into the milk, into the cereal. And I'm like, it's tough. Mm-hmm. It's a tough process.
It's not
my
easy.
My girl, like Roxanne, Roxy, she's never been a real dog person. And that's because when she was younger in New York, she was chased by a pit bull. So she's never been a dog person, but she was upset. Right. They all had... Mm-hmm. Right. Like, the whole family was really affected by the dog passing. Mm-hmm. So there's been those moments where you're, you know, I mean, you don't realize it sometimes. Like, you know, she's a dog. She's part of the family. She's with us all the time. And then all of a sudden, she's gone.
Yeah, no, I was so so my old roommate, Pat, we had the cat and the dog. Mm-hmm. Crazy fucking cat.
And Raleigh, who's a sweetheart.
Yeah, I love Raleigh, but the cat, I was like... The cat passed away, and he was a fucking hot mess. He called me, and I was being super supportive, but like, I was like, a couple weeks ago, I got a phone call from Fairhaven Vet Clinic or something, and Pat used me as a reference for an animal, and I was like, oh my God. If there's anybody to give an animal to, it's that man. Like, literally, he's a vet tech. Like, he will love that animal to death for the rest of its life. And then Pat comes home with two cats. And I was like, Pat, I understand that you wanted to bring another cat home, but two with long hair? Oh. Really? I can't even visit you anymore.
I mean, you're talking about a person that takes like a dead animal that he found, a carcass, and puts it in the freezer to preserve it. He'll take care of animals.
That did happen, didn't it?
Yeah. Didn't he put like a raccoon or something in your fucking freezer?
Yeah, there was something in my freezer.
He comes home. There's ducks in the fucking bathtub. He comes home. There's a fucking raccoon. No, it wasn't a raccoon. You told me it was a possum that he put in the fucking freezer. So here's Nick. Oh, I'm going to make dinner. Opens the fucking freezer. And there's staring at him.
Yeah, that checks out.
That's Pat.
Yeah, yeah.
The ducks
were cute, though.
Yeah.
I will say, if I ever bought a home where I had land, I would get chickens.
Yeah. Chickens?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I used to, believe it or not, I used to have a duck in New York City.
Get up. It's time to do chores.
I used to have a pet duck.
That's not surprising to me for some reason.
Yeah. I had a pet duck.
What did you call him? Just out of curiosity. Quack.
Quacky. Quacky.
Oh, my God.
Crack. All right. All right. Well, listen, that was a great first half of the show, but we are going to take a break. So when we come back, we do have the dish. We'll be right back. All right, ladies and gents, we are back from the break. Thank you for allowing us to take that break. We needed to go refresh all of our drinks and, well, that's not what we were doing, but that's what we were doing. But anyway, we are back and we've got the dish for you. So instead of me talking and talking and talking and talking, I'm just going to toss it over to anybody else. Trish, do you have anything you'd like to share with us for the dish today?
Yeah, sure, of course.
Oh, my God. Yay.
So
it's so fabulous.
As you all know, I'm gay.
Oh, well, oh, really? Congratulations.
And I like gay books.
Well, congratulations.
And I like gay TV shows.
Of course.
So evidently, there is a Netflix show about Alexander the Great.
I heard he was gay. I heard that he made his way through the old world.
So I have not seen it yet, and I plan to go home and watch it tonight.
He's got some old DNA in him, that one.
But evidently within the first like 15 minutes of the episode,
there's an orgy. I haven't read the story.
Shares a kiss with one of his generals.
Oh, okay.
Hephaestion.
I know.
Played by Will Stevens.
We miss Chris and his pronunciations.
Yeah, I know.
He would have nailed it.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
General Hepatitis.
Hepatitis.
Maybe that's where it comes from. Maybe that's where it comes from. You don't know. But it. In the Netflix series, it clearly depicts Alexander as either gay or bisexual. We do know that he was married about 4 times, I believe.
Uh-huh. Oops, that's a lot.
However, and I think fathered one child, there is clear evidence that he was either pursued and or in love with hepatitis.
Well, that's a good thing. So, you know, this is not the first time that we've heard about, you know, figures in history having been documented in some way, shape, or form having meaningful relationships with members of the same sex, right? Yes. When we talk about...
Well, also, you have to understand that, like, back in that time, they didn't identify people or pigeonhole people into a specific... sexual identity.
It's a normal, and I've seen a couple of things where they say normally back in the days, any man that did not have a beard was anyone who didn't have a beard would be penetrated by any man that did have.
Is that why you carry a beard with you every day now?
Yeah,
you nasty. Yeah.
You don't want to get penetrated.
Penetrated. So yeah, if you were hairless, you were basically the.
I'm shaving.
The taker.
I am shaving and going back in time.
Back in time.
So hepatitis.
That, we're going to call it hepatitis, but really hepatitis, it isn't.
It's Hephaestion. Hepaestion.
Oh, that's Greek for hepatitis.
He died of illness in 324 BCE.
Of hepatitis.
And after his death, it plunged Alexander into grief.
See?
It's reported that Alexander draped himself over
in
hepatitis, and his corpse, refused food, cut his hair, and organized an extravagant funeral. So I don't know. I found this article interesting. I'm excited to watch the show because I love hearing about more history when it comes to the LGBTQ plus community, right. When in a lot of ways it's been erased, right?
Yeah.
So, right. So like having a show like this come to light where they're highlighting this guy who was this huge, Alexander the Great was a leader, a conqueror. Right. You know, he was a big deal during this time. And you never heard about growing up the fact that, you know, he had relationships with men, that he actually loved men, specifically
hepatitis.
Exactly. and so having something like this, that's so it's brought to, you know, our timeline. It's just exciting to like hear about a different side of the story,
right, of history. So let me ask you, what where is this being actually shown in? What network is actually
Netflix?
And yeah, so stuff. You know that, you know, if you want to like dive in, Netflix is the network to give you all of the episodes all at once. They don't make you wait a week like everybody else does. It's like you can just dive into all the episodes all at once. Yeah, and I've always loved,
you know,
Netflix.
You know what I really like on Netflix that I've watched, which is an ongoing, it's called Special. Have you guys seen that?
Oh, honey, mm-hmm. That's you all day, yes. Long.
Yeah.
But sure.
It's an honest portrayal of being both gay and disabled.
Okay.
Yeah, you didn't know it was about that, did you?
No, I did not. No, because, but that's okay.
And it's awesome because it gives you a nice, it gives you a view. I mean, being when I was part of the LGBT when I used to run the youth group, when we used to run the youth group, Center Youth at the center, there was a group of special needs individuals that were in the LGBT right. community, and we met with them from time to time, and they would do events with us. So I'm familiar, you know, I'm familiar with it, but right. This show kind of gives you a first hand look at the struggles and challenges they face sometimes.
Right.
But this show, I think it's really, really well made out. Amazing, amazing. If you haven't watched it, Special, that's the name of it.
I'll have to look at it. So yeah.
You've seen it.
I have?
Chris used to talk about it.
Yeah, I know he may have talked about it, but I've never seen it. Mm. But I will tell you, though, so story time.
Story time.
Oh, God.
Story time confessionals. So, you know, in my adventures of going through Pornhub, I have come across a couple of, you know, GIs that have lost their extremities that can fuck their living daylights out. And I'm like obsessed with watching them like move and do their thing without legs. And they're just going at it. And they're amazing tops, and it's great. And I'm just thinking to myself, okay, how would I make that work?
Okay, moving on.
I don't want to think
about this.
Here's the thing. Oh, it's God. Like if someone is disabled, regardless of whatever situation they're in, and they're an adult, they're in their 30s, 40s, you know, this happens.
They're of consenting age.
And they have the capability to have a mature relationship and also have a mature sexual experience. It's like, how do you, as someone who society considers not to be special, form a relationship with someone who may have some special needs, whether they're in a wheelchair, differently abled. And how do you make that work from all aspects of life, whether that's spirituality, on an emotional level, on a sexual level? Like, girl, how do you get there?
You took a left exit from this conversation. Like a hard left.
But that's what the show is about. I mean, when you think about the show, it's really showing you the struggles of members of our community who are disabled trying to navigate the craziness that is being gay.
Okay, I missed something. What show are we talking about?
Special.
Special.
Oh, okay.
She's special.
You're being special right now.
So I'm thinking of a different show then.
No, yeah, clearly.
Because I'm like, what happened?
No, I mean, we're talking about a show about disabled people navigating the world of sex and gay and
relationships.
How do you fit in all of that? Like, it's fucking nuts. And so, you know, anyway, I started off with the whole porn thing because it gave me a visual of what I could expect. If I were to have someone, for example, I'm in a relationship with someone, in a meaningful, you know, very serious relationship with someone who...
Or even just a hookup.
Or just a hookup. Like, okay, this can happen.
I like about this show is that they give you those views. The one-time hookup.
Right.
The relationship and what it means and what to expect. And, you know, it's true to what is experienced by individuals. Right. And I mean,
we often forget that these people are still human.
Yeah. Yeah. Right? And I think that's
there's a human element.
Human element. And then I like the show basically because in the beginning, the first season, he's living with his mother. Right.
Mm.
And then he decides he wants to move out, but she's so overprotective, you know, and it's kind of like him trying to kind of set his life in a certain way, and his mother's okay with everything, but she's always that helicopter mom.
All right, so I have seen the show.
Okay.
Have you watched the new season?
She's still speechless. Yeah.
There are two seasons.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, so I've watched both, and I'm trying to remember...
He has the hookup with the guy he meets at the pool party. And then they're together for they're together for like a whole weekend or like a week. And then all of a sudden he's like, oh, I got to go see my boyfriend. So he's thinking that they're building a relationship and then the bomb drops.
Right.
So it's, and it's
this individual in the movie, the main character is...
Ryan O'Connell, yeah, he plays what the hell's his name on the TV? I think it is Ryan on the TV show, yeah.
But he has a social disorder.
Yeah.
He's not necessarily, I mean, while I guess...
Social disorder, and he also has a cerebral palsy.
That's right, yeah. That's right. Okay, yeah. Now I get the
and
whole...
Then, and then yeah. part of the reason why I like this is because one of the twins of my grandsons has cerebral palsy.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody assumes, you know, there's going to be all these limits, but this dude is...
Living his life.
He's living his best life. So it gives you not only a look into the LGBTQ lifestyle, but a person with a disability.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, that most people...
Trying to navigate, again,
we have these stigmas.
I mean, we navigate ignorance. The whole, you know, the whole, oh, you know, I don't get the whole pronouns things. I don't get this thing and I don't get that thing. And oh, here we go again with another thing in our community. Oh, another subgroup and blah, blah, blah. And then you have people who are actually like, oh, my God, like, I need love, too.
Mm-hmm.
Where do I go?
Well,
how do I fit in the whole picture?
Yeah.
Right? And we're vicious. Let me tell you, the gay community is fucking vicious.
Two things. So one, I want to say the show I was talking about is actually not a show. It's a documentary. So I wanted to correct myself. Second, I think I've talked about this on the show before, but when I was younger, I hooked up with a guy a couple times who had a deformity.
What kind of deformity? Oh, wait.
It wasn't like cerebral palsy or anything like that, but he had a deformed hand.
Okay.
And like he was missing fingers.
Okay.
And he couldn't use his hand like a normal person, but I never noticed because when we were getting to know one another before we hooked up, he always just kept his hand in his pocket.
What do you think that was?
Obviously, I know what it was, but like then, you know, we hooked up and I figured it out in the moment. I was like, at first, and then I was like, don't worry about it. I don't care.
Well, that's very grown up of you, but not everybody reacts that way. You know, it's like they're worried about the fingers that are missing, not realizing, hey, there's a couple of other extremities there that he can do magic with.
And he did.
See, and that's what I'm saying. So it's like.
So when I was a freshman in high school.
Oh, God.
Oh, God. Did you hook up with a one-legged hooker that worked at IHOP?
No.
I mean that with 100% love. They get love, too.
So one of my first high school girls, officially, I guess, when I was in high school, she was a small person.
We've talked about this. Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, I think it's just a matter of people have stigmas, right?
Yeah.
So regardless of how it is.
I think we have preconceived notions.
Right. Of, yeah. I mean, to me, there was no difference. I mean,
I was at an event yesterday, literally all day. I was at an event and there was a guy that came up to our table and he was clearly, you know, a small person, but he was fucking hot.
See?
And I was like, Azaria, what the fuck? And she was like, you shut the fuck up right now.
And that's what I'm saying.
Here's the thing. Lean into that shit because you never know. You might go for the best ride of your fucking life.
Yep.
So, you know, it's like, so it brings me back to Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
And Tyrion Lannister, right?
He
was a little imp, but that, I don't know what the fuck he was doing to these freaking hookers.
Well, also, he was royalty, so.
Yeah. Kind of had that going for him. But, yeah. I mean, I think you can't restrict yourself based on what you think people will say, right? Just to say, I mean, when I was younger, I didn't give a shit. I mean,
just do it. A hole's a hole.
Yeah, just do it. Have fun. Enjoy yourself. And it wasn't about that.
I mean that respectfully.
But, well, no, I mean like,
but, you know, I'm
responding to Jay saying, well, when I was younger.
when
you don't give a fuck now.
But I think, you know, it's carried. It's carried on throughout my life is what I want to say. Because you can't allow yourself to live based on what people may think.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
You can't base your feelings off of social norms.
No. No, and I think
seriously,
fucked up social norms.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. And seriously speaking, they're humans. They're humans. They're humans who are worthy of love. They're humans who are worthy of experience. And, you know, if you can be the vessel that brings them, you know, that discovery, that experience, that, you know, oh my God, that happened. Why not?
Yeah.
Why not?
And I think just to say if there's an interest, genuinely, if there's an, and you have to, I think you have to be careful sometimes because some people just, They want to hook up for the wrong reasons.
Right.
Is what I'm saying, right? It's like
big muscles, big dick.
I've never been with an Asian girl. That's so fucked up. You know what I mean? Yeah. Or an Asian guy. You know, hook up with a person because you're interested in the person, not because they're a specific ethnicity or they have a specific disability or
they're pouring tequila into their foreskin.
Into their foreskins.
Yes, Jay.
But, you know, it's just sometimes you just have to take a step back. Take a step back and just, you know, be genuine. Be genuine. Don't do shit because it's a kink or some shit. Because, I mean, there's ways to go about it.
To be fair, I mean, kinks are fine, too. Live your life.
No. I mean, listen, I'm here to support all of, you know, certain things. Like, you know.
If you have a running list of kinks that you want to accomplish before you die, fuck off. If you have a kink that I'm you saying. Live in yes. and enjoy, that's a different story.
Go for it.
Absolutely.
And if your kink is little children, then fuck you, too.
Yep.
No, because it has to be said. And, you know, and just so that we're clear, you know, that is not something that is specific to the gay community. Not a like, kink. You know, oh, that's not a kink. Yeah, that's not a kink. That's just fucking sick in the head. You know, because they like to, you know, display gay people and like pedophiles and blah, blah, blah. No. Yeah, the majority of people who get arrested for actually molesting children are priests in the Catholic Church and straight men. Just girl, saying.
You know, Tom, I love you to death.
Yes.
You are all over the place today.
Oh, it's coming back up.
She had a very, very large lunch today. I'm thank sure you very she did, much.
Yeah. Glug, glug, glug.
No.
And there's nothing wrong with that either.
There's nothing wrong with that either. You know, it's just, no, what I'm saying is
glory holes are okay.
Yes. Yes, they are. Yes, they are. So, yeah. I hate you both and I love you both at the same time.
Anyway, check out the documentary. Watch Special. It's great.
Yes.
And yeah.
We're all over the place today.
We really are. This is ADD on crack.
I tell you what it is. I'm going to tell you what it is like because I caught on to it a little while ago. We've had such a shit ass week.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
With actually, work it's like 2 weeks.
And home life. Yeah. And I think it's kind of like our way of venting and having
and
a,
I think it's good.
A laugh at the shit that happens. Mm-hmm.
I think it's good, though, and it's healthy because, believe it or not, you know, for those that listen, you're probably thinking, we're a hot mess. And for those who understand...
You're correct.
You're correct. Thank you. But for those who understand the concept of just letting it all out, you have to have an outlet. This has been our outlet for 8+ years.
Yeah.
That's
why I'll never forget having to sit down with someone that I work with and tell them, no, I will not be here at that time on Wednesdays.
No, because this is our special time.
Yeah.
And you know, there are times, listen, we don't hit the mark. I would say 75% of the time. We're a hot mess. We're a fucking hot mess.
No, I will disagree with you, Tom.
Okay.
I think every episode hits some mark.
Okay.
Some episodes hit the entire mark. And I would say that we're kind of falling in that like 35 to 50 percentile of at least hitting most of the mark.
Right. Okay. I will take that. I will take that because sometimes I'm very critical of myself.
75 was real high.
Yeah. No, I'm just saying 75% of the time we don't hit the mark.
Yeah, that's not true though.
I
think that no matter what, we always have good conversation.
Right.
We talk about something that's important to whatever's going on in our lives that can affect other people. But I also think that no matter how off the rails our show goes,
it's still our therapy.
It's our therapy. But on top of that, we're always, you know, highlighting really important things that are going on in the world.
Yeah. Right. It's true. Yeah. I mean, we are.
You don't have to agree.
Gay men and bisexual men going through life and, you know, and experiences. And if our experiences, our conversations can help in any way, shape or form, anyone out there that doesn't have access to.
I think sometimes you don't realize that even the, for us, the most menial conversations can really, you know, someone that's listening can really connect to that.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Be like, oh shit, I'm not the only one that's dealt with that. And I've had it happen to me where I've listened to another podcast or I'm seeing another show or there's something that comes up and I'm like, holy shit, I don't feel alone. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Right. And I'm not the only gay man out there that gets mansplained to.
Mansplained to,
Right. Right. So, you know, while we may not hit the mark most of the time, I feel that, you know, this is something that we do and we do it with love.
He said most of the time again.
Some of the time. While we may not hit the mark some of the time, I'm very critical of the things that I do. I'm mostly critical to myself. You are too. We all are. I feel that this is an
outlet
for us.
But you are unapologetically authentic, and that's what makes you so great on the show.
Well, I thank you. Thank you.
Oh my God, I said something nice. Take it back.
I'm going to take it. But you're right, because here's the thing. I'm about to be fucking 45 years old. Why should I be giving a motherfucking fuck about what people think about me?
Mm-hmm.
You don't pay my rent. You don't pay my mortgage. You don't pay my imaginary hot tub bill.
Where is that hot tub?
You almost got sprayed.
You don't pay my water bill, my sewer bill, and all those other bills. So why should I care about what people think about what I think?
On that note, I'm going to ask our listeners to
give us your opinion.
Give us your opinions on where and when this hot tub will appear, because clearly we all have rough weeks from time to time, and wow, would a hot tub make a difference?
Why can't you just do what everybody else does and just drink alcohol?
But alcohol in a hot tub is even better.
That's actually quite dangerous.
Yeah, true.
Anyway.
Look at all the movies.
And he's got solar, so I don't know why he's talking about this hot tub bill.
But listen, so right now, my solar panels cover 100% of my consumption for the entire year, which means that I am guaranteed to get a bare minimum $12 bill every month, right? That was a very large investment on my part because, you know, it's something that I wanted to help the earth and I wanted to do that. If I were to add a hot tub, then I will blow through my production for the year. And then I have to start paying the electric company and she ain't going to like fork me up. Oh, here's $100. Well, you know.
Take my paycheck from Gay Talk.
Oh, the paycheck. That doesn't exist. You know that, girl.
It hasn't in a while. Yeah, it hasn't
in a while. It's not going to happen. But no. But
dear HR. Dear Elsie.
Okay, anyway. Moving the fuck on.
Yes, we are.
Tom,
yes, we
I know
are.
You have something you want to share.
Yeah, no. Very quickly, I just wanted to mention, because I know it's part of Mama Kim's Minute, so I don't want to take her thunder, but I will say we may have, allegedly, a potential new 007, James Bond. And it's rumored that it will be none other, as soon as I can get my mouse over here, than... did you take his name out?
Aaron.
Aaron Taylor Johnson. And so here's what I'm going to say about this. If you have not Googled Aaron Taylor Johnson
nude,
I suggest that you do, and just add the word nude at the end of it. You're welcome. That's all I'm gonna say. And that being said, what I really wanted to actually point out, it was a story from the state of California, and basically what is being highlighted here is that the California parents got up, stood up, and ousted a school board member who enacted anti-LGBTQ policies in that district, in that school district. So, two members of the Orange Unified School District Board have been removed by parents who opposed policies requiring school staff to out transgender kids. So, parents in the Southern California school have voted to remove two conservative school board members after they spearheaded a policy that would forcibly out transgender students to their guardians. Members of the Orange Unified School District Board voted 4-0 to enact the policy in September. It was passed at 11:30 p.m. And after the three opposed members walked out and withheld their vote, it became quite a controversial thing. So the policy states that parents must be notified when a student seeks to be identified as a gender other than the student's biological sex or gender listed on the student's birth certificate or any other official record. This includes names, nicknames, and or pronouns, and applies even if the student hasn't taken action but has discussed the matter with a counselor. So Board President Rick Ledesma said that there were more obligations to establish a policy and otherwise students could be told to keep secret, and because supposedly it comes down from the state. Now Ledesma and other members who led the efforts to enact the policy, Madison Minor, have been removed from their seats in a recall vote. Both lost their elections last week by a margin of approximately 7%. percentage point, according to the Los Angeles Times. Now, I've read enough. Thank you. My opinion.
Bravo.
That's my opinion. Here's the thing. Students, whether they're minors or not, are still human. And as we grow and as we move through life, we go through a sense of discovery. We discover ourselves. We, based on our experiences with our friends, whether it's in school, outside of school, with our parents, with our family, anyone, we change. And you know what? Not everybody is entitled to that change. Not everybody is entitled or deserves to understand what that change is like until we're ready to share that. And the fact that two, you know, board members of a school district decided that they would take it upon themselves to out someone or to
force them
to have that conversation when they're not ready, it's kind of fucked up. And so I'm glad that parents took action and actually had these two officials removed. I digress.
Yeah, so not at all. So what I was going to say is I think this is an amazing story.
Yes, it is.
So there was a local parent, Darshan Samaladin, and they said, I'm assuming it's a female, but they said, we did this recall knowing everyone was watching. Mm-hmm. Oh, he said. The school board takes over a part of a national trend. But for us, it wasn't about politics. It's about taking politics and personal agenda out of school board and making students the first priority.
And it should be. Every student.
So what's amazing about this is they're trying to take politics out of decisions that affect students, right?
Right.
But at the same time, what this proves to not only us, but to the American people and to generally everybody, is if you stand up and you continually make your voice heard, you can make a difference. You can overturn a ruling. You can literally make somebody step down because they're doing something that's affecting people that they have no control over.
Right.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. And so I think that's what's really amazing about the story. Absolutely. Yes, they're trying to take politics out of the school board, but at the end of the day, what they did was all about politics.
Yeah, and it's protecting. It's protecting our kids. And again, you know, I'm a big proponent of that because you got to remember, especially when we were younger, a lot of kids, especially teen years, a lot of kids experiment. Mm-hmm. That's how you figure out where the fuck you want to go.
I mean, right. Where you want to land.
Yeah, I grew up in a neighborhood, I remember a bunch of us hanging out, doing shit we were supposed to be
circle
doing.
Jerks circle jerks and all that jerks stuff,
and
right?
Watching porn videos and...
Behind the theater curtain.
No, and...
Nick was over there dreaming about bukkake.
Yeah, we weren't in no theater. Sessions. We were in our friend's parents' house and shit. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But the thing is that... You're experimenting. You're kind of figuring out where you are as a person, right? So even if I want to call myself, you know, Jay Her, you know, why the fuck do you have to out me? I mean, that just may be what I want to do that week.
Right. Mm.
It doesn't necessarily mean I identify as anything. And you have to keep that in mind. Kids are developing and they're experimenting and trying to experience life. And it's not something we need to step in and say, don't fucking do this because it's wrong.
Right. It's bad enough.
You've done it as a fucking kid. You've done it. Why are you upset?
Right. It's bad enough that we're already, you know, for example, children are already experiencing bullying amongst their own peers.
Yeah.
Right. And have to deal with that social pressure in just in general in school, because I remember school. School's tough. It's hard. It's not easy. To have adults come out and invalidate anything that you could potentially be on top of that is even worse. Because then what happens? Those decisions made by adults in the room encourages bullies and kids.
Yeah.
And in their social structure to continue to mock them and make fun of them because, yeah, our adults say that, you know, we don't give a fuck what you are. It's wrong.
So-and-so said, yeah.
Right. It just...
And you have to remember in the school systems, no matter how much as a teacher or an administrator, and I can speak to this because I've worked in the school system. I worked in the high school system. And no matter how much you try to address a situation within students, right, or something that's happened in the school, someone always gets the wind of it, whether it's from an administrator speaking out of turn or a student being in the wrong place at the right time, right? Mm-hmm. And they heard that this occurred. It always comes back to the students. So even though you attempt to make a good effort to thwart an issue or to advise students on a certain thing, those things happen. And you can't. It's impossible to put these policies and procedures in place without outing students that don't want to be outed to fellow classmates and their family.
But also, if you give every student a safe space to acquire the tools to be successful and the knowledge to move forward in life and the wherewithal to actually make a decision as to what they want to do with their lives without attacking their gender, without attacking their sexual orientation, you're going to see a drastic change. If you create a safe space where people can be whoever the hell they want to fucking be, people will fucking succeed.
Right. If we take the political agenda outside of the schools and just simply allowed kids to learn what they need to learn, learn your basics, right? Learn your social skills, learn how to adapt and work within your social groups, but also discover yourself in a safe space. Mm-hmm. We would be in an amazing place right now.
Yeah.
But sadly, that is not.
No. You know, because what happens is there are people that go to school every day fearing for their life, and they can't, fearing for their life, maybe their reputation, maybe just whatever it is. But the social aspect of creating an environment where people can't be themselves or feel free to be themselves makes them not have the ability or capacity to focus on their future.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And I think sometimes you have to realize that bullying amongst students, right, could be for the dumbest shit.
It'll always happen. But if it starts with the parents.
Exactly. And then now adding on top of that, the fact that if you identify or you, just for argument's sake, I see you hanging out with so-and-so, and we know that so-and-so is out, right?
Right.
Then, you know, it's,
then
it's
you must be
guilty by association.
Right. Tell me who you walk with, and I will tell you who you are.
My mom used to tell me that all the time when I was young. You know, and I was like, you know what? You really can't go by that, because people befriend people that they're comfortable with. Mm-hmm. You know, and it has nothing to do with orientation.
It's just a matter of safety. I used to always tell my mother, you know what? That's not necessarily true, bitch, because I could totally enjoy someone's craziness without being crazy myself.
Absolutely.
Like, I just want to sit back and, like, sit down and just, like, laugh, okay? That crazy motherfucker makes me laugh. That doesn't necessarily make me the same. We are not the same.
I'm feeling attacked right now.
No, oh my God.
Next level.
He's so pretty. He's so pretty. That's all she says about you.
See, for me, school was different. I went to a high school in New York City, and our student body was 4,000.
Yeah, mine was 2.
So I dated the second.
2,000 or two? Just two?
Two students?
1,000.
Me and my sister.
I was going to be like, me and my homegirl.
Yeah, no, 4,000.
That was
it.
That was a whole student.
Pretty much.
So I ended up just dating the school secretary.
So can I ask, this is a dumb, for me, it's a dumb question.
No, let's pause. Did you not just hear what Jay said?
Rewind.
Did what?
I dated the high school secretary.
At what age?
15.
And how old was she?
21.
Girl, you just keep coming out with it. You're like a pimple you can't stop popping.
And it crosses over several times and he continues to keep going at it.
That's, you know, it's just shit that happens. And even though I was dating women. I dated quite a few women in my day. A lot of my friends were gay at the time, you know? And I was kind of, I knew I was curious, you know what I mean? But you have that whole stigma growing up, and especially...
Especially in Latino families.
And the Latino families, oof. And I have four other brothers.
It's rough.
So it's like, you know, you have to, you must, gotta, you know? So it's... But out of the house, you know, when I was not home, I had plenty of gay friends I used to hang out with. So, but yeah, dating, as far as dating, all older women.
Yeah, he was always you know, a cougar chaser.
When I met my wife, I was 14. She was 20. So.
And 30 years later, they're still together.
Yeah, so.
And she's definitely a cougar now. I mean, at this point, she's a cougar with spots.
Yeah, she's losing her hearing a little bit. So,
she's
a deaf leopard. No, stop.
I hate her. All right. Well, anyway, the moral of the story is: listen, parents. Regardless of what these fuckers think that they can do in school boards and blah whatnot, your parents, your son, daughter, or your person that you love goes to that school.
Yep.
Speak up. Yeah. Stand up. Stand up for the rights of your children because no one is going to do it better than you do. Absolutely. And when you do, you will find people, you will find soldiers that will join your cause and fight with you and have results like this and get people who are not supposed to be around kids, period, gone.
Absolutely.
Do what you need to do. Mm-hmm. I find it that today was a very... very all over the place show, but it was also very spirited and I loved it and I thank you for it. But we are going to be wrapping it up and I'm going to toss it over to my two, besties over here so that we can go ahead and go through the motions of saying good night. So Trish, I'm going to give you some love.
Thank you.
You know what's coming.
All right, everybody. Here's Mama Kim's minute. Number one, Olympic swimmer Sean Gunn comes out as gay and ladies and
gun gems. Comes out.
Gun comes
that out. Word all in one sentence. Okay, go ahead.
He's a cutie pie.
He is cute.
Number two, 13 badass queer actors who should replace Daniel Craig as James Bond. Number three, gay dad claps back at white supremacist who attacked him for having a family.
Nice. Yes. All right,
moving on this day in gay history. And moving on, the year 1990, where? New York, New York. The initial meeting of the LGBT Community Service Center in Greenwich Village draws 60 people who decide to start an organization to eliminate homophobia and increase LGBTQ visibility. The group is not named until a year later, which is named Queer Nation. So congrats to Queer Nation.
And imagine that happened in 1990, right? So think about it, 24 years later, how have we evolved as a community? There's been a lot of change.
Evolved. Devolved.
Re-evolved.
We continue to fight the fight. It's been quite the interesting thing.
Yeah.
You know, to see it all come together. Which is quite astonishing to say the least.
Absolutely. So moving on to the next topic. Who won the week for you?
For me?
Yes.
So I will tell you the NAACP awards were on this week and I watched them and you know it's a time and place to take the art and the amazing experience of Black culture in this country and bringing it to the forefront and allowing them to have a moment to shine and all of the great work that they do in the arts and in movies and in theater and in TV. And I'm still in fucking awe of Queen Latifah. This fucking woman is giving us life and she has been giving us life since she released her first album, Unity. Well, at least the song Unity, U-N-I-T-Y, right?
Yeah.
I think that there has been no other person to me that had such a career that is dignified of recognition than Queen Latifah, doing her thing year after year, decade after decade, navigating so many different things from rap to jazz to movies to theater to she's just an incredible woman, and I just wanted to give her a big up, and she definitely won my week. She hosted the NAACP Awards.
Nice.
So,
Trish, anyone for you?
Actually, I have one.
You did?
Wow.
Okay. And I'm sorry in advance because it's a white woman.
That's okay. White, very white rich is cool too.
White woman.
That's okay.
All right.
So, does she do good things?
Yeah.
Of course, then.
Sorry. So, Mackenzie Scott, the woman who recently divorced Jeff Bezos, Amazon.
Love her.
Has in the past couple years awarded 279 nonprofits with about $2 million each. 15 of those organizations were focused on the LGBTQ plus community, which is amazing.
That's awesome.
On top of that, I wanted to give her a shout out because yesterday we were notified that four organizations in Connecticut were awarded $2 million each. One of them is I truly believe in, and it is the LEAP organization. LEAP is an organization that helps underserved youth with mentorship, with job placement, with literally mentoring after school, so that these kids that are underserved are actually making have a chance to really make a true life for themselves. And I actually recently went to a LEAP fundraiser, and this organization and these kids do such great work. And so seeing that, while I know it wasn't the New Haven Pride Center, so we'll talk about it, Mackenzie.
Yeah, we're going to have to talk about that.
It was beautiful to see that organization was awarded that money. So yeah, Mackenzie Scott got a little shout out today.
Well, claps for her. Jay Bird, who do you have? Anybody other than Mark Anthony, okay?
Sam Taylor Johnson.
Oh!
You know who Sam is?
Oh, Sam, wait, is it Sam?
No, Sam is the wife of...
Sam Taylor...
Aaron
wifey?
Taylor Johnson.
Oh, so she won your week. Why?
I'm just proud of her.
Because he's hot.
I'm so proud
because
of her.
Because Aaron's hot. No. And, of course, Aaron, who's been reprised and may be taking on the role of the new 007.
That's right. So... Baby girl, thank you for sharing that penis with us. It is beautiful.
Yeah.
You are a lucky lady.
You are the envy of the world right now.
You're not wrong.
She's a director as well. So she's...
She has an important role.
She's an important role.
She sits on a very important, let's just say a throne. Yes.
Yeah.
Aaron has a pretty extensive movie record as well. So I didn't realize, you know, he's been in he was in Kick-Ass. That's why I recognized the face eventually.
We talked about one of the scenes from one of the movies that you believe that you saw and where he was like,
and
you know,
I'm trying to remember what movie that was, but
we'll talk about that later.
Yeah. But he was in Kick-Ass. He was in Bullet Train, which I've watched. Great movies.
I remember Bullet Train.
Yeah. Craven the Hunter. He's done quite
well. He can hunt me down wherever he wants, baby.
Yeah, so he's in the Avengers.
I'm gonna go blow some shit up just so 007 can show up at my door.
You guys are nasty. And but it's time to wrap it the fuck up.
It's time to wrap it up. But yeah, definitely Aaron. He can be in my class any day.
Uh-huh.
Same. Anyways, moving on.
That circle jerk in New York.
In New York. Ruined some people for life. Anyhow, announcements. If you love the show, make sure to subscribe, rate, and review on your favorite podcasting service. By subscribing, you get the latest and greatest of our show delivered right to your favorite device or web browser as soon as the episode is published. You can also support us on Patreon. With Patreon, you, our listeners, can help support the show with a pledged donation. The donations are collected monthly and can be in any denomination of a dollar or more.
Jay Bird, I am so proud of you. You get better and better every motherfucking day.
And I love you, worse and worse.
Thank you, ladies.
Well, there you go. Yeah. Go for it.
Go ahead, Nick. Over to you.
I can't.
Oh, she needs her.
Oh, thank you. All right, everybody, get the Future Method and all other products today. All products are doctor developed and can clean out without hurting your bum. Take confidence anywhere with the anal powder packs, and now increase your stretch goals with the 3-piece anal dilation glass dilation kit. Visit futuremethod.com to purchase your life-changing bum cleanser today.
Jaybird. And as always, it is time to put a ring on it.
All the single ladies.
All the single ladies. Our show is available on our website, gaytalk20.com, under audio podcast. It is also available as a free download on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Stitcher Radio.
All right. You can find us on social media, Facebook, Gay Talk 2.0, Instagram, Gay Talk 2.0. You can email us at gaytalk2.0 at gaytalk20.com. Tom.
Try it. All right. Well, ladies and gents, I want to thank you. Oh, guess what? We haven't been recording. I'm kidding. Holy, I was joking.
Honestly, I wouldn't put it past you. So,
ladies and gents, if you need to reach out to any of us here on the show, just go on over to our website, click on the Contact Us tab, which is located at the top of your web browser. There you can leave comments, you can suggest topics, you can submit a question for the cast or an individual host, or you can just give us a ring ring. Our digits are, 334, Gay Talk, and... if you can't make that out, excuse me, I had a burp. Drinks. It is 334-429-8255. Don't forget, we are streaming live for all of our Patreon subscribers on the day that we record the show. So if you want to access it right then and there, support us on Patreon. And with that, ladies and gents, I want to thank you all for joining us on today's episode. That is our show. Thank you, and y'all have a good night. Bye!
Thank you for listening to this episode of Gay Talk 2.0. Tune in next time for more dish.